Hey there, everybody. I'm so excited today. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food, and this is going to be a major love fest today. I'm just warning you, okay? Are you ready? I am. I've been looking forward to this since last week, actually. I've been having a good time on this show, and I hope you've been having a good time learning and discovering everything about food, my favorite subject. And more, I'm going to be connecting the dots between food and all life on Earth, because it is all about food. Terrific. So I want to welcome my first guest, Dels Ruth, and he is the author of the China Study Family Cookbook, which we'll be talking about today, as well as three other cookbooks, the China Study Quick and Easy Cookbook, Forks Over Knives, the Cookbook, and Better Than Vegan. Saruf is also the co-owner and chef at the Wellness Forum, where he delivers great-tasting plant-based meals to clients in Columbus as well as throughout the continental U.S. Saruf also joined the Wellness Forum as a member, where after a lifetime of yo-yo dieting, he has lost over 200 pounds on a low-fat, plant-based diet. He teaches cooking classes at local venues like Whole Foods, community recreation centers, and the Wellness Forum. Learn more about Del at chefdelsruth.com. Del, how are you?
I'm great, Karen. It's good to be with you again.
So I am going to give you the virtual five-year, fifth time on It's All About Food robe.
Wow, I'm excited.
So this is like Saturday Night Live when Alex Baldwin or Steve Martin come out with their plush robes with the five on it. And this is your fifth time on It's All About Food. And I don't have many people that come back very often. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. Do I just have to keep writing cookbooks to get invited back a sixth time?
Well, unless you... not necessarily. Because
okay.
The last time you were on the program, I don't know if you remember, but you were actually on to save the day because I think it was Leanne Campbell who was scheduled to be on, and she had a... And she couldn't make it for one reason or another. Do you remember that? She was having a total health conference or something, and then there was some crazy thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And well, I'm happy to be a fill-in guest. I'll be. It's fun for me. So whatever you need.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the China City Family Cookbook today, and I want to say, Del, you have outdone yourself this time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm excited about it.
And I think my favorite part of the book is breakfast.
Yeah, me too. Well, you know, breakfast, yes.
No, really. You've outdone yourself. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is using whole food ingredients and why that's important and why some people may not realize it's important. So, you know, we've gone through this industrial age, and in some ways it's been good, and in some ways it's been absolutely horrible. And when it comes to food... The industry has been putting in all of these low-quality, cheap ingredients, cheap either because they're cheap or because they're subsidized. And people are used to this food, and the health is degrading as a result. But in all of your recipes, which are fabulous, people can have all of their favorite comfort foods, and I will bet that they taste better than the foods that they're used to, because the ingredients you're using are not only whole foods, but they're quality foods.
Right. They're real food.
They're real.
They're real food. And if you've been eating food out of a box for most of your life, as a lot of people have, then you're going to taste real food for the first time. And I think that's the exciting thing about that. And it's interesting. You know, this is my fourth cookbook. I feel only more encouraged to write cookbooks this way, not with just real food, but real food that you can get at a regular grocery store, right? You don't have to go anyplace special to get these ingredients. These are right there in front of us.
Exactly. You know, I was talking to someone recently, and I'm not going to say who, because it doesn't matter. But he was talking about all of the new products that are available and making them accessible.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like you. I'm really into you can go to any grocery store, get the beans, get the dates, get the whole foods and make spectacular food.
Well, look, if you're a person that's eaten, if you grew up in an Italian-American household and it's spaghetti and meatballs all your life, then what the heck do you want to do with quinoa? I love quinoa. But if you're new to this, you know, quinoa looks like some sort of foreign invasion to you, right?
Yeah.
You know,
especially if you look at it closely, it can creep you out because
yeah,
it's got that little spermy thing in it or something.
Yeah. And if hamburgers and french fries have been your things, then you're not going to go for the I don't know. It's just you have to sort of approach meet people where they are to the best that you can. And I'm just trying to do it with real food so that they can understand what they're eating and not be so freaked out by it.
Okay, so some of the fantastic things. You're sweetening with dates or date puree or applesauce.
Yeah.
And these are all great ways to get the sweet into the food.
Yeah. Well, when you sweeten with dates, when you sweeten with whole foods, then you not only get the sweetness, but you get the fiber, and then you get all the nutrients in those dates. And dates are more than just the sweetness. They are packed full of vitamins and minerals.
Michael Greger at NutritionFacts.org has a video on sweeteners and what the most nutritious sweetener is. And, of course, he always saves the best part for last, like it's like a thriller or something.
Right.
But dates were the winner because they're a complete food when you're getting that. It's nature's candy. When you get that sweetness, you're getting the fiber and you're getting everything else.
It's nature's candy is the perfect way to say it.
Okay, let's say it again. It's nature's candy.
It's nature's candy. Eat up.
Okay, fantastic. So I just dog-eared a few recipes.
Oh, perfect.
First one, I'm going to be making this weekend for my partner Gary DiMattei's birthday. Don't anybody tell him. Chocolate donuts.
Yes. I made these for a week-long cooking immersion last week, and we did them in class, and everyone was like, what just happened?
I bet they taste better than real donuts.
Well, they're real food. Again.
I'm sorry. That was the wrong thing to say. I can't stand when people say, oh, you're eating fake cheese. No, I'm eating plant cheese, or I'm eating, plant whatever, but these are real donuts. Thank you.
These are real donuts.
Real donuts, and they're made with whole wheat pastry flour, cocoa powder, sweetened applesauce, date puree, plant milk, vanilla, and then they have a little frosting that's got sweet potato puree in it.
Yeah. Mm. So, and the best part, you're going to eat two or three donuts, which is going to fill you up, one. Two, you're not going to have that sugar crash an hour later where you have to go lay down.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, I have to admit, the last time I had something that I thought tasted like donuts, it was purple potatoes.
Ah, okay.
I don't know, and we did it all wrong because we were in Florida, and we got them from my favorite Josh Steinhauser's Farmer's Market in North Hollywood. I don't know if you know Josh, but he's if you ever meet him, he is like high on green juice. He's always bouncing off the walls, full of energy guy, and he's got a fantastic farmer's market. But they were selling purple potatoes, and we were staying in a little beach place. We only had a microwave, so we microwaved them. Anyway, they tasted like donuts.
Oh, wow. I need some of that.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm going to try these chocolate donuts. And then moving on, I just wanted to mention the sweet potato hummus.
One of my favorite recipes. You know, I've been making hummus for almost 30 years now in commercial kitchens, and I get a little bit bored with just regular hummus. It's still a part of what I do, but when the day that I made sweet potato hummus, I fell in love with hummus all over again.
So I just have to make a pedantic, obnoxious statement.
Go for it.
And I'm just going to say it, and then we'll just pass on. Now, hummus, of course, in the original Arabic and Hebrew languages, means garbanzo bean. And we have kind of taken that word and made it our own, which happens to a lot of words in vocabulary.
Yeah.
And hummus now means like a creamy spread.
Yeah.
And so this sweet potato hummus doesn't have any garbanzo beans in it.
No.
But it's got tahini and sweet potato puree, lemon juice, garlic, cumin, salt, pepper. It's a fabulous color, and I'm sure it's fantastic.
And I tell you what, I make the distinction between hummus and then other bean spreads. And here's the difference. Here's when I keep it at hummus. When I'm using, this is a traditional hummus recipe minus the olive oil.
Ah.
So everything else in there you'll find in a traditional hummus. And then all we're doing is replacing the chickpeas with sweet potatoes. And so I'm okay with that translation, that artistic license, if you will. But when I make plenty of white beans, like I make a cannellini bean spread with rosemary and lemon juice and garlic, I do not call it hummus.
What do you call it?
I call it a white bean spread. But I try to respect a little bit of the cultural heritage of the food that I'm eating because I love that.
Yes.
You know, I love that history has a history and a story and an origin.
I love that, too. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think,
definitely.
Yeah, food history is important.
Well, yeah.
What I learned about garbanzo beans recently? I don't want to call them chickpeas anymore.
Oh, really?
I think I learned this during the Food Revolution Summit. Maybe it was Vandana Shiva. But anyway, what she was talking about was how when the British came along and occupied India, and they noticed all the beans that the people were eating, they thought those beans were animal feed.
Oh, wow.
You know, chickpeas for the chicks.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Fascinating. Anyway, so they're garbanzo beans now.
Well, I'll be with you. I'll call them garbanzo beans, and I'll give you another quick one. You know, I use millet in a lot of recipes.
I was going to bring that up. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes.
Oh, it's one of my favorite ingredients. But, you know, in America, most of the millet that's grown is used for bird feed.
Right.
And, in fact, I get people who I show the recipe to, especially guys, and they're like, that's bird food. My older brother, that's bird food. I'm like, oh, God.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about millet and why we love it.
Well, you know, it's an ancient grain. It's been around forever.
It's gluten-free.
It's a versatile grain. It's packed full of vitamins and minerals and all of those things that we love. And it's versatile. And it's easy. It's quick cooking. It's 20 minutes to cook. And you can do so many things with it. I first encountered it in a Moroccan millet pilaf. One of my favorite cookbook authors' recipes, and loved it. But then the second time I saw it was out of a pita cookbook where they made meatloaf out of it.
Mm.
And
you
I've
made
making,
chorizo out of it.
Yeah.
Right?
I make
in
chorizo,
this cookbook.
I make meatballs, I make everything like that out of it because it holds together on its own. It doesn't need any binder.
You know what I discovered recently? Somebody told me this on the show, but I never got around to doing it, and that was you can make your own millet flour from millet, just putting it in a Vitamix.
Oh, yeah, Vitamix, the power of the Vitamix, certainly.
Yes.
Oat flour, too.
Awesome. Then the last recipe I wanted to talk about was the mushroom bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about bacon on this show from time to time. The unfortunate thing is all of those bacon lovers who don't really care about where the bacon comes from. And all they really are interested is in that salty, sweet, fatty flavor.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just as easy to get out of something like mushrooms. You know, if you think about a bacon, like not a crispy bacon, but the kind of the oven-baked bacon that they do, so it never really gets crispy, but it has that softness to it, but it has the salty and the sweetie. You can get that out of mushrooms.
I know.
You can get that out of mushrooms.
Yes.
And oh, my gosh.
The other thing I didn't mention yet in this cookbook, which is a little different from some others, is you've included some interviews with people and given their personal anecdotes.
Yeah.
I
love this part of the book. It really was a fun thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting side of it. You know, I interviewed the Campbell family, Dr. Campbell, who wrote the China Study, and his daughter Leanne, and their stories about how they became plant-based and how they came to it. Is not only interesting, but, you know, the most interesting thing about them is that their entire family adopted this diet. It's Dr. Campbell, all of his children, and all of their children eat plant-based, which is a rarity.
Yep.
And so I included their story for that reason. But then you see other stories of people who, to some level or not, the family is either on board or they're not, and how they deal with that. And I think those stories are important, too. Because we're not striving here for perfection. We're just striving to move forward in a better direction.
That's it. In a mouthful. That's right. And the Campbell family, they're like the plant-based dynasty.
They're the royalty.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it looks like you've been adopted into their family with the China City Family Cookbook.
I would be thrilled if that were the case. They definitely seem to like my writing cookbooks, and I love them. I mean, I consider them really, really some of my favorite people. They're the nicest family on the planet that I've ever met. They're just as nice as it gets. But I certainly have been blessed to have been allowed this opportunity to write a couple of cookbooks for them.
Okay. The last thing I'm going to say before we go is I always like to talk about cauliflower with you, Del.
Yeah.
And I couldn't not mention it. And in this book, you have a few recipes with cauliflower, and one is the autumn vegetable pot pie with biscuit crust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can make that for me sometime.
Okay. Well, we need to work that out, because I'd be happy to. But, you know, the cauliflower is still, although, you know, the new book has a cheese sauce recipe that's made from potatoes, I still have a fondness for the place of cauliflower purees for making sauces and cream-based things. And people that I feed it to, even people who don't like cauliflower, love the mouthfeel and the taste. You know, it takes on the flavor, again, of whatever you do to it. The taste that you come up with it and the things that you can do with it, it's a totally versatile food. So I'm all in on the cauliflower still.
Fantastic. Del, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Always fun.
And always fun.
Thank you.
Yes. Thanks for writing the China City Family Cookbook, 100 Recipes to Bring Your Family to the Plant-Based Table. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. Are you salivating? I'm just very hungry right now. Dangerous talking about food when you haven't eaten since this morning.